Thank you, Deaconess June. Church, please join me as we look to God in prayer together. Lord, we pray the meditation of our heart and the words of my mouth be pleasing to you, our Lord, the rock, our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. It's been 6 months since we had Celebration of Hope. And for those who may be unfamiliar with what Celebration of Hope is, it was basically a mass level of evangelistic event that was organized by the church in Singapore, in which we saw 125,000 people attending over 3 days. And the church, when we came together, we had also decided that the year 2019 will be a year of proclamation. And shortly, 2019 will be over. And the question, I believe very much on the hearts of everyone, would be, so what's next? I want to suggest to you, what's next is important. And I want to also suggest to you that we need to keep the gospel fire burning. If we can have the next slide, please. Next slide. And I believe you agree with me that it is very easy to start a fire. Many of us, when we were much younger, we loved campfires, coming together to set the bonfire during a camp. Because it is the only time that you can set fire and without being caught. It is easy to start a fire, but it is often a challenge to keep it burning. If we are true to ourselves, the question that we need to ask this evening is the gospel fire burning strong in our personal life and in our church? Our Lord Jesus Christ has given us the command to continue with the proclamation of the gospel. Our sister had read for us from Matthew chapter 28, 19 and 20. Go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. It is the Great Commission, a commission that we are all so familiar with. In the same way, our Lord Jesus had also spoken the same in Mark 16, Luke 24, John 20, and Acts 1:8. And Jesus is saying to his disciples, and he's also saying to us, I am going to my Father, and you are to continue to keep the gospel fire burning. And so the question for us tonight is, how do we keep this gospel fire burning? I want to suggest to you 3 things. Firstly, we need a renewed vision of the greatness of Christ. We need a renewed compassion for the lost. And we need a renewed readiness for the gospel. Firstly, a renewed vision of the greatness of Christ. You will probably ask, why is a renewed vision of Christ so important to keep the gospel fire burning? And I want to illustrate it this way. What if I were to tell you tonight that I have found the cure to all cancer? How many of you would actually believe me? Okay, very good. I think my brother is just trying to encourage me. But I believe none of you here would walk out of this place and you will not tell your friends that, you know, there's this guy that just spoke in St. Drew Cathedral that he has found the cure to all cancer. Because none of you have believed in me. And in the same way, my dear friends, unless we believe in the greatness of Christ, how great is our God, that none of us would actually go out of this place proclaiming who our Lord Jesus Christ is. And so often, my dear friends, our vision of the greatness of God is often clouded out by the uzzah in our lives. In the first 3 verses of Isaiah chapter 6, you will see the author Isaiah saying, in the year that King Uzziah died, he encountered God. He encountered God face to face while he was worshiping as the high priest in the temple of God. It's a divine appointment. It is a divine encounter with God face to face. It is not an opportunity where every one of us would have. And for Isaiah, it was a lifetime moment. And I believe if any one of us here had encounter, have a personal encounter with God, we will go out of this place and the first thing that we want to tell our loved ones and our friends is, hey, you know, I just met with God. But you realize that in Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah began his writing by saying, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. How unusual this is. How unusual, because if you have met God, you would definitely want to go straight to the point. And I want to suggest to you that in the writing in the Old Testament, like Isaiah, the author is trying to make a contrast for us. A contrast of who, of the time during King Uzziah and of the time after the death of King Uzziah. And to understand this contrast, we need to understand who is this King Uzziah. If you have your Bible or if you have your mobile apps, you can turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 26 and I'll read some verses for you to help you understand who is this King Uzziah. We were told that King Uzziah was 16 years old and he was made king instead of his father. And in verse 3, he reigned for 52 years in Jerusalem. Verse 4, and he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Verse 5, he set himself to seek God in the days of Zechariah, who instructed him in the fear of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. Verse 7, God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians. Verse 8, the Ammonites paid tribute to Uzziah, and his fame spread even to the border of Egypt, for he became very strong. Verse 9, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gates and the valley gates and the anger gates and fortified them, and he built towers in the wilderness and cut out many cisterns. He had large herds, he had farmers, vine dressers in the hills, and in fertile lands. Verse 11, Uzziah had an army of soldiers fit for war. Verse 13, under his command was an army of more than 300,000 who could make war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. Verse 14, Uzziah prepared for all the army shoes, spears, helmets, coats of mail, bows, and stones for slinging. In verse 15, in Jerusalem, he made machines invented by skillful men to be on the towers and the corners and to shoot arrows and great stones. And his fame spread far, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. I'm not sure what came across to your mind when you heard what I just read to you. But you can imagine that if you are Isaiah and the people of Israelite living during the time of King Uzziah, you are living in a prosperous nation without fear, without having to worry about when you're going to put food on the table. Uzziah was a great king. He was a marvelous king. He was intelligent. He outwitted his enemies and he was able to provide for his nations. And in many sense, the people of Israel did not have to worry about life. So I'm going to suggest to you, for the longest time, for Isaiah and for the Israelites, they had their eyes fixed on an earthly king instead of the heavenly king. It was until the death of King Uzziah, and while Isaiah was worshiping in the temple of God, that he encountered God face to face and he saw the angels worshiping God. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. What are the Uzziahs, my dear friends? What are the Uzziahs that's stopping us from seeing and believing in the greatness of God? I mentioned to you about Celebration of Hope. Next slide, please. For the 3 days rallies, we saw more than 6,000 people who responded to the altar call. 2,000 prayed to receive Christ. Another 2,000 prayed to renew their faith. And more than a million, some as far as Mongolia, had watched Celebration of Hope live. God was marvelously great in how this gospel was being proclaimed, not only in our nation, but even beyond. I want to share a testimony that is so close to my heart that took place on the Saturday evening at the Chinese rally. A young lady had invited her auntie, her elderly auntie, to this rally. And many of you will remember that at the Chinese rally on Saturday evening, we invited many Chinese celebrities and singers. And of course, the excuse for the auntie to come for this rally were many of those performing were the favorites of this auntie. She came for the rally, and during the altar call, this young lady nudged the auntie and said, you know, would you like to go down and to pray to receive Christ? The auntie turned around, looked at the young lady and said, you are crazy. She refused to go down. And then as we went on, the pastor continued to issue another call and encourage anyone who is sick and wants to receive healing to come down to the field and to receive this healing. And again, this young lady thought, you know, just inspired by the Holy Spirit, turned to the auntie and said, you know, you have got joint pains and muscular pain. And this auntie was suffering from severe joint pains and muscular pain all over her body. And so when the young lady nudged her and said, you know, why don't you go down and receive prayer? There's nothing to lose. The auntie said, sure, why not? I don't know how, but they made their way to the very steep steps down the stadium to the field, and she was being prayed for. This auntie was being prayed for. And when they left the stadium, as they were walking towards this MRT station, the auntie turned to the young lady and said, hey, you know, something is very strange. The pain in my joints has lightened up. It's gone. And they went on their own separate ways. And then when the auntie arrived at a home in Sengkang, she called this young lady again. And she said, you remember whenever you come to my house, you have to walk these 3 long flights of steps before you get to my place. And every time I will have to stop for about 6 or 7 times before I get home. But tonight, I didn't have to stop even once. I make it home right away. Hallelujah. But that's not the end of the story. The very next day, this auntie, this elderly lady was going out for, she left home for work, and she had tripped over a low wire. She tripped over the low wire, and she was falling face down, and she was imagining that this is going to be a very severe impact. And as she was falling, she felt 2 big pairs of hands holding her. And she had a soft landing. She was not injured for even a little bit. She got up and immediately she looked around and she realized that the nearest person to her was about 200 meters away. She immediately knew who had rescued her, picked up her phone and she called her niece and she said, your God just saved me. Hallelujah. And I was told that this auntie and her children were recently baptized in one of the Chinese churches in Singapore. Our God is great, my dear friends. And we need to believe that we worship a great God. And in believing that we worship a great God, we are able to go forth and proclaim how great is our God. And secondly, we need a renewed compassion for the lost. While we are sitting here, my dear friends, are we awakened to the fact that there are many out there who are still searching for hope? Isaiah, when he encountered God face to face, he began to realize his own sinfulness. Verse 5, he said, "Woe is me, for I'm lost, for I'm a man of unclean lips." And remember, as a high priest, he's worshiping in the temple of God, in the Holy of Holies, alone. But his heart was for the people outside. And he remembers them, and he says, "I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." Isaiah had great compassion for his people. Next slide, please. I'm not sure what this means to you when you see this picture on the screen, faces of different ones. They could be your friends. They could be your classmates. They could be your colleagues. They could be your neighbor. And they could be totally strangers. What does it mean to you? Next slide, please. The next slide, please. And what about the 1040 windows where 2.9 billion people are still unreached and many of them are just a stone throw away from us? What does this number mean to you? My dear friends, have we become so busy with our life, work, that we have totally lost our compassion for the lost, the unsafe? And we dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. I want to share with you the testimony of one of my pastors. Next slide, please. Pastor Daniel from Nepal. Pastor Daniel is, the picture is a bit small, he's in green, seated on the floor. He used to work as a supervisor in a factory in Dubai. Because of poverty, many of the men in Nepal leave to work overseas as migrant workers. He was well-liked by his bosses. He's intelligent, he's a good leader, and he speaks three languages, English, Hindi, and Nepali. And because of that, he was placed in charge to oversee a group of men in the factory. And he was earning good money. One day, while on his home trip back at home in Kathmandu, God spoke to him. God very clearly told him, "Daniel, I want you to visit a place that's just next to your house." Daniel knew about this place. He knew the existence of this place, but you know, for the longest time in his life, he had never walked into this neighborhood. Next slide, please. And he, out of obedience, stepped into this neighborhood, this place that God had called him to visit. And this was what gripped him. It was a slum. In case you're wondering what are those in the background, those are the sanitation, the waste, the rubbish. And he saw young children picking up treasures from among the slum so that they can exchange it for money to put food on the table. Next slide, please. And likewise, he saw men doing the same thing, you know, picking up treasures so that they can sell it. Next slide. And family, young family raising their children in the midst of the slum and also setting up their homes in the slum. Daniel was gripped with compassion. He was gripped with so much compassion as he stood there. He had so much tears in his eyes. And God spoke to him again. And God said to him, "Son, do you love this people? Son, do you love this people?" With his tear in his eyes, Daniel said, "You know, God, yes, I do love this people." Daniel had just come from the travel office. He had just picked up his air ticket and he was ready to fly back the next morning. But with the compassion that gripped his heart, Daniel took up his air ticket, he tore it away, and he decided that he would stay to serve the people in the slum. Next slide, please. And Daniel went on to start a kindergarten to provide free education for the children, because he felt the great need that he needs to minister to this group of children. Next slide. And many of the children went on to the public school, and they went on to top the school. And he was doing so well in terms of providing this free education that the demand was so great, and he went on to start two more. And altogether, today, he's running three kindergartens. But he felt that there was an emptiness among the people who are coming to the school and the parents of the children, and the emptiness in the community. And he realized that what was really needed is the gospel. Next slide, please. And then he went on to plant a church in the midst of the slum to reach out to the families of the children. And today, he's pastoring three congregations in the slum of about 1,000 people. And it all began because he was gripped with compassion for these people who were seeking for hope. And I want to say to us, my dear friends, without compassion, our evangelism effort will be merely transactional. But with compassion, people will experience the true love of our Lord Jesus Christ through us. Very shortly, Cathedral will be engaged in Christmas outreaches, not only to the memories, but also to the Filipinos, and likewise to our friends through different activities. Is that just merely another program or event for you? Or will you reach out to these people with compassion? Because your desire is to see how they will come to a saving faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. And thirdly, we need a renewed readiness for the gospel. Isaiah 6:8 is a very familiar passage or a verse to many of us. And here, after Isaiah was being set free, Isaiah heard the voice of God saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" God was probably talking to the Son or to the Holy Spirit, or maybe talking to the angels. We do not know. But it is so unusual here, because in the whole Bible and Scripture, you will find that in the case of Abraham, in the case of Moses, in the case of Joshua, in the case of the 12 disciples, in the case of Paul, God calls them. God called and they responded in faith. But in the case of Isaiah, it seems that God was unsure. I want to suggest to you, it wasn't that God is unsure, but God is wanting to know what is on the heart of Isaiah. Issue here is not whether we have heard the call, but the issue here is whether we will heed the call of our Lord Jesus Christ when he gave us the great commission to go and make disciples of all nations. The question here is whether are we willing? Are we willing? And it is with that willingness that Isaiah went on to respond to God to say, "Lord, here I am, send me." Are you willing? My dear friends, are you willing? Next slide, please. I want to share with you this story about this lady that's on the screen. She lives in the village very far flung in the western part of Nepal. And this story is also about a young man who had just finished his DTS training in youth with a mission in Kathmandu. And after he had completed the course, he heard so clearly a voice from God calling him to go to this place to share and to preach the gospel. it's a place called Kailali, and this young man who have lived his for the longest time in the city didn't even know where this place is in Nepal. In fact, he had to take up the map. He went through, combed through the maps for many hours before he found this place called Kailali. When he shared that with his family and with his pastors, with his friends, and everybody told him, "You're crazy, don't do it." And because nobody believed in him, he did not have any financial support. He didn't even have moral and prayer support. And he went out of his own. He walked for 150 kilometers before he reached this village to preach the gospel to this group of people. And unknowing to him, this lady in the picture, she had already made an agreement with an agent to sell her baby. And the poor, many of them who are very poor, in order to put food on the table, the only way to sustain the family is to often sell their children. And knowing that the babies, their children, will end up across the border in India and become prostitutes. But when she heard the gospel, there was a sudden realization in her heart that the child, the baby, is a gift of God for her. That day, that very day when she heard the gospel, she decided that she will keep the baby. Glory to God. Amen. And the next picture, please. And likewise for this group of children, because a group of men and women were willing to take them in when their village was struck by the earthquake in 2015. With earthquakes and landslides, this group of young children, they lost their parents. And a group of men and women, Christian men and women, took them in, provided shelter, free food, and education. Today, 4 years later, the children, they have grown up and they are serving faithfully in the church as worship leaders. Next slide, please. And some of you may know that in Nepal, there's anti-conversion law. If you are caught for preaching the gospel, you could be sentenced to a 6 years imprisonment. But many young men and women and of great faith continues to preach the gospel. And this year, in the Anglican Church, we have baptized more than 200 new converts because men and women of great faith were willing to go and proclaim the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My dear friends, many out there are still searching for hope. Are we willing? Are we willing to go? Are we willing to respond to God saying, "Lord, here I am, send me"? For some of us here, we may be thinking that, you know, Pastor, I'm too old. I'm not of much use. And this should be something that the younger ones, the younger generation should carry out, you know, to continue to proclaim the gospel. I want to share with you a testimony and I will end here. As part of my involvement with Celebration of Hope, this is a story from one of the Chinese churches. One of the sisters from one of these Chinese churches had shared how Celebration of Hope had inspired her to go out to share the gospel. And she was sitting in a hawker center in Bendemeer one day, you know, complaining to God, "God, I'm 70 years old, and for many years until now, I have not even brought one person to faith. God, can you just give me one?" So that morning, while sitting in the hawker center in Bendemeer, as she said that, "God, can you give me one?" in less than a minute, a man, a 40-year-old man, came, sat right in front of her, and this was someone who was known to her, this elderly lady. And this man then said to her, "You know, Auntie, I haven't seen you around for a long time. And then he went on to probe. And he said, you know, Auntie, for many years, whenever there's Chinese celebration, festive, you know, all the prayers, we often will see you. You're always involved. Why is it that we have not seen you for many years? Where have you been? Disappeared too? You know, suddenly the light bulb turns on for this elderly lady and she, wow, there's an opportunity for her to engage a young man and to share how she had come to faith. She shared her testimony about her conversion, how she was of a different faith, and how she had received Christ and now she worshiped together with her children in the church. And at the end of the 30 minutes conversion, this 70-year-old lady led a 40-year-old man, the 40-year-old man, to pray the sinner's prayer. Wow. Encouraged by that, at the end of that, this elderly lady, 70-year-old, said, you know, God, wow, this is amazing. God, one more. And you know, for this whole entire 2 years, she has led more than 20 to faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And my dear friends, so I want to close by encouraging you. Do not let the Uzzah in our lives stop us from proclaiming how great is our God. And go with compassion, knowing that many out there, our friends, our colleagues, our neighbors, even strangers in the street, are searching for hope. Go with the readiness to proclaim the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne of grace, knowing that in our weakness so often, we are caught up by our busyness, doing things that serves ourselves, but not your great commission. We ask for your forgiveness. And even as we prepare for a new season, we pray, help us to keep this gospel fire burning in our lives and in our church. Let not age be a hinder or a hurdle for us, but help us, believing that if even this 70-year-old lady could reach out to 20 and to bring them to a saving faith, Lord, we can do the same. So, Lord, give us one more. In Jesus' name, amen.